friendly live Brad show here on Raw Radio. I'm your host, Brad Friedman, friendly citizen blogger. Kat is making a face at me because I never say my name enough, right? So I just said it, Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. Got it? Okay. We are here every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, and our show is rebroadcast on Sunday morning, 12 noon to 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., excuse me, Eastern. Is that right? No, not Eastern. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time. If you missed any portion of tonight's Hall of Fame broadcast, Bob Petraeus is just a font of information. We have to have him back 2 hours next time, Kat. All right? 2 hours with Petraeus, if we can get him there. He's going to be out here in Southern California next week. Check out freepress.org. And we have to talk about the fact that in Ohio, J. Kenneth Blackwell is running around telling everyone that nothing could possibly go wrong at the boards of election because they're all bipartisan, two Republicans, two Democrats. Guess what? The Democrats ain't Democrats. As Cheryl Eaton said last week on our show, they're cooked. And we need to get the word out there about that. Ray McGovern coming up, 27-year CIA analyst, going to talk about this breaking news that we got from John Byrne of Raw Story last hour and much more, including the Downing Street Minutes. And, man, we need a longer show. We need a daily show. Can you make a note of that? Daily show soon. All right? Now that we're getting the technical stuff worked out, daily show. All right. This portion of the Brad Show is made possible by dateofreturn.com. Date of Return wants us all to ask a few simple questions. Why does the Bush administration refuse to lay out an exit strategy? Why do they refuse to specify the conditions that need to be met to trigger a withdrawal? Why are they making up false issues? What? The Bush administration? False issues? I don't believe it. Why is news about the war buried by the U.S. mainstream media? What? Buried by the U.S. I'm confused. Let's face it. The Bush administration and their lackeys in corporate media are committed to distracting you from events in Iraq. We're not going to let them. Dateofreturn.com is not going to let them either. They will keep you up to date on issues regarding the question on the minds of tens of millions of Americans, when are our troops coming home? Stop by dateofreturn.com right now and for a one-time $5 subscription. $5 subscription fee. See, we're asking $100 for Bob Petraeus' book. All they're asking for is $5. Support them. You will receive for that $5 an exclusive Bring Them Home ribbon car magnet. Its distinctive shape and color will help you stand out from the pro-war crowd. They've got their car magnets. Now we've got ours. It's time to stand up and be counted. Save American lives by supporting an exit strategy. Stay informed with our updates. Stay visible with our magnet. Visit dateofreturn.com tonight and join the subscribers nationwide. Excuse me. All right. Now, we got to get a cough button in here so I can clear. Eddie, cough button. Kat, Daily Show. Gregory, we'll figure out something we need Gregory to do. All right. Right now, I believe, do we have Ray on the line? Ray McGovern is a retired CIA analyst, where he worked for 27 years for presidential administrations from John F. Kennedy to George H.W. Bush. Ray's responsibilities at CIA included chairing national intelligence estimates and preparing the president's daily brief. And that's the PDB you've heard so much about lately. During the mid-80s, Ray was one of the senior analysts conducting early morning briefings of the PDB one-on-one with the vice president, the secretaries of state and defense, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the assistant to the president for national security affairs. Not too bad. In January 2003, after it had become clear that intelligence analysis was being corrupted by political pressure to justify an unprovoked attack on Iraq, a handful of intelligence community alumni, including Ray, created Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. VIPS now includes over 50 former professionals from CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Department of State's Bureau of Intelligence and Research, Army Intelligence, the FBI, the NSA, and other U.S. intelligence agencies. In addition to co-authoring most of VIPS's memoranda, Ray has written a number of articles all around the country and the world, in the Boston Globe, the Christian Science Monitor, the Miami Herald, the International Herald Tribune. But what have you done lately, Ray? At his retirement ceremony, Ray received the Intelligence Commendation Medal and a letter of gratitude from then-President George H.W. Bush, wishing Ray well in his transition to nonprofit work. Ray's upcoming books, that's two books, Neoconned and Neoconned Again, will be published by Light in the Darkness Publications. It's a comprehensive two-volume work that deals with the run-up to and the aftermath of the Iraq War. He is also going to be testifying this week at the John Conyers hearings on the Downing Street Minutes. Mr. McGovern, are you there with us?
I am, Brad. Thanks for the invite.
Thanks for coming on. That's a mouthful, and boy, I cut your bio down by about two-thirds. It's still a mouthful, man alive. So I'm glad you can be with us here tonight. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those hours like with Bob Fitrakis where we just got too much to get to. So, hey, have you gotten a look, Ray McGovern, at the breaking news that Raw Story had over there?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Let me fill folks in here real quickly. Ministers were warned. This is from the London Times Online, which I believe is Rupert Murdoch's paper, is it not?
I believe it is.
Yes, I believe it is. Ministers were warned in July 2002 that Britain was committed to taking part in an American-led invasion of Iraq. They had no choice but to find a way of making it legal. The warning in a leaked cabinet office briefing paper, this is just out in the Sunday Times, but we got it minutes ago, said that Tony Blair had already agreed to back military action to get rid of Saddam Hussein at a summit at the Texas ranch of President George W. Bush 3 months earlier. The briefing paper for participants at a meeting of Blair's inner circle on July 23, 2002, said that since regime change was illegal, it was, quote, necessary to create the conditions, unquote, which would make it illegal. Are you surprised, Ray?
Not at all, Brad. And those words that you just quoted, it is necessary to create the conditions. I wonder how many of your listeners remember that that is precisely the same phraseology used by our infamous General Jeffrey Miller, who was put in charge of Guantanamo and later Abu Ghraib. And his big shtick was, quote, creating conditions necessary for successful interrogation. So what we have here is, in the macrocosm, the quote you just made, mm-hmm. Create the conditions for war, to put a legal imprint on this illegal war. And when when that settles down into the prisons of this world with the POWs, it's create the conditions for the kind of interrogations that require torture. So it's a really unnerving phrase, and I was really struck by it. But the news itself is not all that new. It's kind of confusing now, so let me just backtrack. There are two documents in question here. One is the famous now Downing Street memo, which is really the minutes of this particular meeting on 23 July 2002. And that those minutes report pretty much verbatim what the head of British intelligence had to say when he briefed Tony Blair, as this head of British intelligence was fresh back from Washington, consultations with George Tenet, then head of the CIA, and other senior officials. And his big report, of course, was the President George W. Bush had decided it's going to be a war, it's going to be for regime change, but we're going to justify it, in quotes, by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD being the weapons of mass destruction. And what that means, of course, is they're going to say, A, Saddam Hussein has WMD, and B, he's likely to give it to terrorists, you know, those terrorists that the president keeps talking about.
Yes.
You know, that's the conjunction, right? Total illusion, but that's the way they sold it to the American people. And three, when Jack Straw, the foreign minister, objects and says, you know, the evidence on weapons of mass destruction, thin, you know, quote, thin, end quote. That's the word he used.
Right.
And the head of British intelligence says, no problem. The intelligence and facts are being fixed around the policy. Now, we veteran intelligence professionals for sanity have been saying that for 3 years. The circumstantial evidence was overwhelming. Never in our wildest dreams did we think that we would ever see it in black and white in a very classified, a highly classified secret document by either the UK or by the US. And there it is, hanging right out there. And before I forget, you know, one very important aspect of all this is that it took a very courageous, what Dan Ellsberg and I call a patriotic leaker, okay, a very, very courageous person within the UK apparatus to leak that document and then the subsequent story. Because in Britain, you know, there's no First Amendment. It's 2 years at least the first time you open your mouth and divulge an official secret. They have the Official Secrets Act. So they haven't caught him or her yet, and I hope they never do. But let it be said right out front that if we didn't have this patriotic leaker, we would not have the documentary proof that the president, well, let's just say it, friends, that the president lied through his teeth to justify an unprovoked war against a country that happened to have a lot of oil.
Now, yeah, you got that right, and I wish there was more folks coming out of the woodwork. And, you know, speaking of which, you were a CIA analyst for 27 years. Where are all the folks within the CIA sharing? Where are the deep throats there telling us, you know, coming out to say, no, we didn't get the intelligence wrong. They twisted it and they fixed the facts. Where are those guys?
Sorry, Brad, I had to turn the humidifier off here.
No, okay.
Here in Washington, it's pretty humid.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah, the heat is on in Washington. Now, what I was wondering is we had somebody leak that the Downing Street minutes, and I'm wondering, are we going to hear, you suppose, from folks in the CIA? And I know one of the things you've been on about for a while is the politicization of the CIA. Where are the deep throats coming out of the CIA to say, look, man, we didn't get this intelligence wrong. They twisted it. They, quote, fixed it around the policy. Where are these people stepping forward?
Yeah. Brad, that is the question I dread. I dread it because the answer is that there are very few left within the intelligence community who grew up with the ethos that we did. You know, you shall know the truth, you shall report the truth without fear or favor, just the facts, and you would have career protection for doing that. That's not the case any longer. So that's the most important factor.
I mean, have these people all been purged? I mean, surely there are still good men and women who are at the CIA who are hearing themselves being blamed for this bad intelligence.
Well, yeah, there are still some good ones around, but let me tell you what's different between now and when Dan Ellsberg released the Pentagon Papers. That was 1971. Okay,
right.
30 years after that, we had a celebration in Washington to celebrate the courageous stand of the Washington Post and New York Times in publishing that, despite the Nixon administration threats that they'd all go to jail.
Right.
Now, after a lot of backslapping and, you know, conviviality, one woman in the audience raised her hand and she said, now you are representatives of the Times and the Post, and you're senior officials now, whereas before you were just junior officials. Suppose that happened now. Suppose there were Pentagon Papers released now. Would your newspapers publish it?
What was the answer?
The answer was about 45 seconds of complete silence. And then Rick Smith, who was with the Times, Hedrick Smith, who was with the Times at the time, was on the panel, and he cleared his throat. He says, well, I wouldn't bet on it now. And as they went down, and these are people, the other people, still in the employ of both these major newspapers, every one of them said, no, probably not now, until they get to the end and say, no way now.
Yeah, well,
I said to myself, wow, yeah, there's the sea change. And the worst part of it, Brad, there wasn't a sign of embarrassment or a regret. It was just the way things are now.
Well,
now, what's the answer to that? So the answer to that is, if I have some information and I want to get it out to the U.S. public, I don't have the luxury that Dan Ellsberg did in knowing that if I give this information to New York Times, the Washington Post, that they're going to publish it. And likely as not, they're going to call up my boss and say, you know what Joe Blow is doing? You know what he's telling us? And so that's the sea change here.
Now, why is that?
No free press.
Ray McGovern, we're speaking with Ray McGovern, a CIA analyst, 27 years CIA analyst. Why is that, Ray? Why are, what has changed? Is this 9/11? Is this George Bush? What's going on that these, the media, I mean, you said that there was 4 minutes of, or something like that, of silence after this question was asked, and I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, well, there's been about 4 years of silence from the mainstream media about what's going on with these charlatans. So my question is, why? What are they afraid of? What's changed now from your time at the CIA that would frighten the media to report what's going on?
Well, I only know sort of inductively, you know, experientially, particularly since 9/11, what I've observed. And what I've observed is a sea change in the willingness of the New York Times and the Washington Post to report anything that's of embarrassment to the administration. They were the cheerleaders for this unprovoked war. They were oblivious to checking out their facts. It was an incredibly irresponsible performance on part of both papers. Now, how do you explain it? People need to be a little more clever than I to explain it, but you know, I buy into the explanation that many of these newspapers, if not all, are owned by a corporate milieu here, who has a joint interest with the administration, who is kind of involved with the administration so closely that it resembles very much the beginning of fascism, where you have the corporate media, the corporations themselves, and the government all working hand in glove to keep the truth and the facts away from the people.
If I have my my math right here, Ray, you would have been working at the CIA when George H.W. Bush was the head of the CIA, am I right?
I was, and I was working directly under him.
And how much of this do we attribute now to George H.W. Bush, to his connections at the CIA, to the clamping down? I mean, has he changed? It's hard to make sense of, frankly. It's hard to understand why you know, the media would shut down, why whistleblowers at the CIA would now be afraid to come forward, or I know why they'd be afraid to come forward, but, you know, how we allowed it to be politicized the way that we have. I know with Porter Goss coming in, and there was a purge after he was appointed. doesn't Bush Sr. look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, this is not my CIA, I don't approve?
Yeah, my guess is that he looks at the situation and says, oh, my goodness, this is not my White House either. I think the man is torn between his loyalty to his son and his basic knowledge of what's best for the country. And I suppose he's really distraught that his son never read his memoirs, in which he talked about what would happen if we invaded Iraq or tried to get rid of Saddam, because it's all played out like clockwork. What George H.W. Bush and General Scowcroft, his national security advisors, wrote in their joint book was the reason why, you know, they explained why they did not go after Saddam. And even Dick Cheney, ironically enough, right after the first Gulf War in 91, was asked out in Seattle, he was asked at a meeting, why didn't you just go after Saddam and end the whole thing? And you know what he said? He said, because we thought it wouldn't be so easy. And, you know, we asked ourselves, how many dead U.S. servicemen is Saddam Hussein worth? And the answer came through loud and clear, not many. Now, okay, that's 1991. What's changed over the 10 years?
What has changed?
Cheney has become an oil man. Cheney knows that the world is running out of oil. Cheney knows that for the first time in our country's history, we're importing more than half of the oil that we need. Cheney knows that Iraq has the second largest oil deposits in the world. Cheney knows that Saddam Hussein is on his back militarily. And Cheney knows that Iraq is ruled by a
ruthless dictator. Go get him.
Was he not? So I guess he wasn't in the oil business until after he left from the first Bush administration. Is that right?
I believe that's the case, but I haven't followed his career as closely. I know enough about him. I don't know what he did before.
Yeah, he's changed. I'll say that. Not that I cared for him before, but he does seem like a different guy now than he was 10 years ago. Okay, we got 1 minute left. Real quick, if I'm doing the math right, conducted early morning PDBs one-on-one with vice presidents in the mid-'80s. Does that mean you briefed Dan Quayle?
No, I had the good fortune to miss Dan Quayle. George Bush was the vice president while I was briefing.
I see. All right. Well, we're going to speak with Ray McGovern for the rest of the hour here, so give us a call if you like, 323-650-1286. If I'm lucky, we'll get to the Valerie Plame affair. We'll get to... there's just so much to get to. So hang in there, Ray, through the break. Did I give the number? Yeah, I did, right? No, 323-650-1286. You are listening to The Brad Show on Raw Radio. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors, right? Very good. Hang on, guys.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
If you're one of the millions of Americans losing their hair, chances are you've heard of Avacor. You've heard that Avacor has helped thousands of people just like you successfully regrow their hair. So why haven't you called? We know there's a lot of confusing information about treatments for baldness, but you can be assured that Avacor really works. We're permitted to say that on the air because our clinical studies and claims of success have been independently reviewed and proven true. That's right. Avacor is a proven three-step system that helps people regrow their hair every day, even people that started losing their hair years ago. We also understand that choosing the correct treatment for hair loss is an important decision. Avacor makes it easy. Avacor comes with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Think about it. We can help you.
To order Avacor, call 800-724-8491. That's 800-724-8491. Avacor. Call 800-724-8491.
The future of radio. The IBC Radio Network.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Hey, we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Miss Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Miss Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Are you sick of the same old business talk shows? Are you tired of hearing all the ranting and raving about the Microsofts of this world? Shows macro bias and mega dominated and get all excited when a stock moves up 5%. Boring. Then check out Stock Talk Live, a special business radio talk show on the air each and every stock market day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stock Talk Live has unique business content not found anywhere else. The subject is penny stocks, and they're often overlooked huge profit opportunities. Gains of 100, 200, and 1,000% or more happen from time to time with penny stocks. And Stock Talk Live is here to show you the way. In English, this means big money. Fast money, real profit opportunities not found anywhere else. Forget about those silly infomercials that promise quick riches. Learn how to make real money all by yourself. Tune in to Stock Talk Live on the web at stocktalklive.net. Stock Talk Live is owned and operated by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, ticker symbol IBCS.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com.
If you think that ghosts just don't exist, think again.
Ghosts have been captured in photographs, on audio tapes, and even in film. Yes, ghosts do exist at www.renesghosts.com.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't like
George W. Bush. What are you talking about?
What's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about? Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Paid for by Operation Truth, Incorporated.
Citizen blogger host Brad Friedman here on Raw Radio. We're speaking with Ray McGovern, the 27-year CIA analyst, now retired, has a few things to say about this administration, about this war. And I understand we had a caller on the line. It was our friend Patty, who I believe we've lost her. We haven't lost her. We got her. They're running around. I don't know what's going on. We may have a question for you shortly, Ray McGovern. Quick question here from the blog. Threadjacker asks, what is your opinion on the various numbers of Iraqi dead from this war? IraqBodyCount.com reports 20 to 30,000, quote, confirmed dead. But we hear that report estimates are around 100,000 or greater, including Iraqi military. That's a big difference. I can't remember who it was. One of our generals says we don't do body counts. Any idea what the actual numbers are?
That's great, isn't it? We don't do body counts.
Right.
The reason we don't know about Iraqi civilian casualties is because Ambassador Paul Bremer, when he was a ruler of Iraq and Mesopotamia, forbade Iraqi authorities in the hospitals, the mortuaries, and elsewhere to keep account. That is public knowledge. Bremer does not deny it. That's why there are no official figures.
And do you think that the number is closer to that 10 to 20,000, or is it closer to that 100 and over?
30,000 is on the low side. Those are very carefully confirmed by, I think, two or three sources, and those are direct casualties of the war. Now, when you get up to the 100,000 range, that's the result of a study done a year ago now by Johns Hopkins University and the British medical journal Lancet, a very reputable journal. Their figure of 100,000 as of that time is a figure that represents what they believe to be Iraqis now dead who would otherwise, without any war, still be living. In other words, ones that died from dysentery because the water purification things are out, people, children who died from infectious diseases that they wouldn't have were it not for the destruction of the war. So in terms of deaths in Iraq, I think the study that was done by Johns Hopkins and Lancet is a very reputable one. I believe this figure is correct to be about 100,000. And the confirmed ones, those are the ones directly killed because of bombings and strafings and other actual violence.
You're in a very good position to tell us, to talk a little bit about this Valerie Plame affair, which has sort of disappeared from the radar. Of course, for folks who may not know, our listeners are really smart, so they probably know. But we'll fill you in real quick to say that she is the wife of Joseph Wilson, who had gone out to Niger to look into Bush's claims that Iraq was buying or attempting to buy uranium from Niger, yellow cake as they called it. Joe Wilson went down there, check it out, came back, told him it wasn't the case, and that it was based on, I believe, fraudulent documents. And, of course, his wife, thanks for that, his wife was outed. She was a covert CIA operative, apparently. She was outed by, well, we don't know who, but we know that Bob Novak decided to write about it and tell the world, whereas folks like Judith Miller, who I'm having trouble defending these days, but... she didn't write a story about it, and she and Matt Cooper of Time Magazine may be going to jail because of this. What's going on in the Valerie Plame investigation? Is there an actual investigation? Is it being whitewashed? And what do you think about folks who would out CIA covert operatives like that?
Well, I think it's contemptible. Valerie Plame was not... of the economic analyst on the banana crop in the Dominican Republic. She was running operations against those who would provide nuclear and other weapons of mass destruction materials to regimes that we don't want to have them. So when we blow a source like this, when we blow her cover, everyone she's worked with for the past 15 or so years is in jeopardy, and we still don't know, at least I don't know, what the net effect of this, how many people were wrapped up, how many people were put in jail or even tortured or killed. Don't make light of this, because this is very serious stuff, because they know where she was, they can trace her career, and they know who she was in contact with. And these governments can easily wrap up the people that she had recruited as agents. Now, why did the White House do that? Well, people, you know, the conventional wisdom is, they really hated Joe Wilson. Why did they hate Joe Wilson? Well, because in reporting in the New York Times in his famous op-ed in early January of 2003, in reporting that there was no legitimate report about Iraq seeking uranium in Niger for lots of reasons. The most obvious one being that the government of Niger does not control the uranium mine in that country. Rather, it's controlled by a consortium headed up by the French, and they keep track of every ounce of that uranium, and there's no way that it could be siphoned off to Iraq or anybody else. That's the most important thing. The second thing was that Iraq didn't need this. They already had tons and tons of yellow cake uranium. It was not the uranium that they needed. What they needed was a way to process it to a much finer degree. And then number three, of course, we found out the whole thing was based on forgeries. Well, Joe Wilson, the consummate diplomat, permitted himself to tell the Washington Post reporters at that time that this begs the question with respect to what else they're lying about, okay?
Right.
Now, that's throwing down the gauntlet, okay? Because of the Downing Street memo, we know what else they were lying about, but at that time, Joe Wilson was convinced they were, and he allowed himself to say it. Okay, here's Karl Rove and Dick Cheney in the White House.
you know, we can't let these guys get away with saying things like that. We got to get something on him. Why? To deter others, the hundreds of others who knew about the lies. And so they go after his wife. Joe Wilson was pristine pure. He's got the walls full of encomia, including from the first George Bush. There's nothing on Joe, so we go get his wife. For what? Well, she works for the CIA. We'll blow her cover, you know. What's the message? The message is, look, all you other bureaucrats that know about this deception and lying, we're going to get you if you decide to do what Joe Wilson did. We're going to get you. Now, if you're clean, we're going to get your wife. Wives are fair game, is what actually one of the White House sources told one of these correspondents. Get your wife, and if she's clean, well, you know, that teenage son of yours that had a drug, we're going to get you. Just be on notice. We're going to get you. So don't dare do it. And that, getting back to our earlier conversation, is another reason why people have been deterred from speaking out and telling the truth like the British patriotic truth tellers are now doing.
Ray, is the CIA in business of killing people? In other words, if whistleblowers were to come forward, should whistleblowers like that fear for their lives?
No. They don't fear for their careers. They fear for their reputations. They'd be ostracized from the people that they used to work with. But I have no fear in speaking out. They should have no fear in speaking out either.
Do your sources tell you that the Plame investigation is actually moving forward, or is that whole thing being whitewashed?
Well, this fellow Fitzgerald, you know, he's not an independent prosecutor, okay, or an independent investigator. He reports to the Deputy Attorney General, so he's not really a free man. He's got to report that way. I'm told that he's a very tenacious and very good investigator, and my guess is that he knows precisely who did it, but he's got to fix the situation so that they can get an indictment and a prosecution, and he can't do that without the people coming forward and admitting it. So far, they've been able to keep this suppressed, and these two people that face jail sentences, I don't know how I feel about that. I have very mixed emotions about that. I guess I'm against it just because they shouldn't do that to any press person.
Well, not to mention press people who didn't even write about the story.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah. But I can see their frustration, because I think Fitzgerald really would like to do the job right.
If Fitzgerald knew for a fact that it was somebody who leaked this, somebody like Karl Rove, somebody like Dick Cheney, would he actually... what's your feeling? Would he come out and reveal that information and prosecute?
Well, Brad, it's a real tough question for me, because Fitzgerald grew up in New York City like I did. He went to Jesuit High School like I did, and he learned the same things I did. Now, whether a career in the Justice Department, the FBI, knocks the sense of ethics and the sense of the need to tell the truth above all other things out of you, I just don't know. But I really do hope that he's a tenacious fellow, and that he will see that he needs to do the right thing here, and that if necessary, he's going to just spill the beans despite what his boss, the Deputy Attorney General, tells him to do. Now, that may be wishful thinking, but I think it's a possibility, and I'd like to be hopeful on that note.
That's somewhat encouraging. Listen, do we have time to get in a caller here before we have to go to a break? I think so. Let's go to O'Bree from Georgia, Woodbury, Georgia. O'Bree, is that how do I say it? No, we lost them. Come back. Don't know what they're telling me. No, they're mouthing things to me. Never mind. We'll come back. We'll do it after the break. So, I'm glad to hear that about Valerie Plame, that at least you are hopeful. I wish I was as hopeful because, frankly, I think these guys are getting to the point where they will do anything to stay in power, to keep things from being divulged.
I'm hopeful with respect to Fitzgerald. I'm not hopeful with respect to his bosses. His top boss, of course, is our friend Gonzalez, the same fellow who advised the president that he could disregard the Geneva Conventions and even the U.S. War Crimes Act and go ahead and exempt full categories of prisoners from the Geneva Convention protection. So
I don't have much hope for them, but I think that what I'd like to see is Fitzgerald reach the point where he'd say, look, I'm unable to complete this investigation, not only because the press won't cooperate, but because my bosses won't cooperate. Let them leave in a blaze of glory.
Boy. Well, we're going to have to take a break here. We'll be back with Ray McGovern and your phone calls. I understand we got Patty back on the line. Hang in there, Patty. We'll be right back there with you, Ray. We're going to have you back very soon. You got a lot of stuff that I want to talk about and I want to hear about. Hang in there. We got one more break and one more short segment with Ray McGovern, of retired CIA analyst. This is The Brad Show on Raw Radio.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
All right. Thanks very much, folks. Well,
coming soon. Horror fans unite.
Your local cable and satellite providers and tell them that you want the Horror Channel. Make sure they log your call.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street, but high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite-distributed all-talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7-hour-long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentili Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentili is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investigator. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation, stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky, and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money, too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
The IBC Radio Network, making its way to your hometown.
Do you want to get the most out of your advertising dollar? Advertise on the IBC Radio Network. Whether it's news, stocks, politics, or even the paranormal, we've got you covered 24 hours a day. Advertising on radio is not as expensive as you may think. Get your product, service, or even website heard by over 2 million people for as little as $100 a month. Call Mike Belluccio, head of advertising, at 402-742-0493. That's 402-742-0493. Advertising. If you don't do it, nobody knows you're there.
The IBC Radio Network, making its way to your home.
Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. You can learn more about these products by calling 1-866-543-3388.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
Radio with Ray McGovern for our last few minutes, and Ray, you still with us there?
Sure am.
All right, we're going to all that secret agent music was for you, my friend. We're going to have to fly through because we've got only about 4 or 5 minutes in this segment, and we got you have lit up the phone lines, so nice job. This means.
May I just say a quick thing? Not to use up but a half a minute here.
Yeah.
Please have your folks call C-SPAN and get them to air live Thursday hearings before Conyers Committee.
All right, Brad.
Okay.
Brad bloggers, you hear that? 6 or 7 of you need to call C-SPAN and instruct them that they need to pick up Conyers' hearing where where Ray McGovern will be testifying this week on the Downing Street memos. Don't worry, Ray. We will get out the 6 or 7 squad, and they will make some noise for you.
The other thing is do tune into afterdowningstreet.org or .com. On that website is an incredibly rich diet of things, including a report out of Denmark that the Danes were told at precisely the same time, July 2002, that the war was inevitable and that the president decided to do it to remove Hussein, not because of weapons of mass destruction. I won't use up any more time.
No, you're right, and thank you for reminding me about that. Of course, Brad Blog and my group, VelvetRevolution.us, are part of that AfterDowningStreet.org coalition, so check it out. And you can also, I'm glad you mentioned it, AfterDowningStreet.org has a chapter from Ray McGovern's upcoming book, Neocond. You can read all about it over there. All right, we have to fly through a couple of things really quick, including some callers. I think we got O'Bree back on the line from Georgia. O'Bree, other way around. Okay, I'm sorry. Patty from Los Angeles. Hey, Patty, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I just had a question. I hope I'm not taking you off course, but I just recently read a book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, by John Perkins, and he describes his being part of a consulting firm, Charles Main, that sort of like it functions as a parallel CIA, and it goes about getting huge contracts for the same people that are in Iraq now getting contracts, Halliburton, Bechtel. And I was just wondering if Mr. McGovern has any comment on these kind of private CIA organizations over the years. Has he been aware of the revolving door between the CIA and these kind of very low-profile, that he, as he describes it, rig elections in third world countries and give fraudulent economic reports? And does he have any comment about that?
Thanks, Patty.
For the author of the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, I think he's got a terrific piece of work out there. I don't know anything about this other stuff. I suspect that the Defense and State Department, Treasury, Commerce are deeply involved in this kind of thing, and I'd frankly be a little surprised that CIA would be involved.
Let me see if I can sneak in one other caller. Patty, thanks for calling. We got Aubrey from Georgia. We got him back on. We got less than a minute. Aubrey, are you there?
Well,
can barely hear you. Speak up. Thanks for calling
I'm
the bridge.
I'm shouting.
There we go. What you got for us, Aubrey?
Okay, I'd like for you, and if you ask this question to Mr. McGovern, could he inform us how President Bush was able to see the first plane crash into the building on TV on 9/11, 25 minutes before he went into the classroom in Florida, since it's been reported by the Washington Times, one, that no film footage of the first attack was broadcast until the next day.
You know what? Before you answer that question, Ray, are you able to hang on after the break and give us just a few more minutes in the next hour?
I'll be happy to.
I know it's getting late out there. All right, we're going to get your answer to that question. We also have Freeway Blogger, the legendary Freeway Blogger, coming up in the next hour. We'll have Ray for a few minutes. Really appreciate you.
Let me say one other thing.
Yeah.
The simple way to fix Social Security is leave the money in the pot when it's collected instead of removing it to do fight wars like Iraq.
Thanks, Aubrey. We got to get out. We'll be back.
Yeah. Okay.
Hang in there, Ray.
Raw Radio.